dbkmediaservices.com. You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk Podcast. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. Now, here are your hosts for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk, Shane Combs and Jeremy Ward.
Well, SVC fans, hello. This is the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk podcast show, and this is a really special show for us. We've been doing about 2 years of the shows now and getting close to 50 shows, but what makes this so special is we come to you live from Jackson High School. We're live for the first time, and this is Selection Sunday for the girls' basketball coaches. They come down here to Jackson. They've just separated off into their rooms. We apologize coming on a little bit late. We were set at 2 o'clock to go live, but in respect to some of the board of directors speaking to higher coaches, I thought it would be best if we waited after the rooms before we start. This is Shane Combs of SBCSportsZone.com, and I'm joined by Jeremy. Jeremy, I want to welcome you to the live show, and just give us some of your thoughts on the live show and the process of the draw, what makes it fun, not so fun.
Well, Shane, probably anxiety is a word that I would use. I mean, it's exciting to get together with everyone. It's a great time to maybe arrange film exchange, confirm some of your perceptions about your opponents, maybe even your own team. At the end of the day, you have to remember everyone's trying to do what's best for their school, and it's not necessarily personal if you end up on the wrong end of the process when you come out of your meeting.
Well, I'll tell you what, it is. It's a lot of fun to come down and see everybody. Just to let the fans know what's going to happen here, the coaches will be in the room approximately 30 to 40 minutes. To let people know, we'll be going through our normal show here, and as the coaches come out of the room, so we'll be bringing them up for interviews and telling you things about the results of the brackets. So, Jeremy, on the other side of this first break, we start with a fan favorite, and you are forced to talk legend coaches and stereotypes of programs. One of the true fun segments of our show, Jeremy, throughout the year has been our Liar Liar Stripes on Fire, and that's where we'll start this week. This is a great email, and I tell you what really ended up drawing me to this email is I've had a lot of people throughout coaching and fans end up getting in conversations with me on this, and I just thought it would be a great way to go when I saw this particular email. Sometimes I like to guess where they're coming from. This looks like maybe an SVC fan that perhaps has a little bit of a tie to McLean basketball, obviously a place known for some really good basketball over the years. Jeremy, this is talking about dealing as an official with legendary coaches, maybe a Larry Jordan, a Gary Kello, Ron Lovell, mentions Rick Van Meter, McLean, or a team with a reputation, say a Zane Trace girls, a McLean boys, in terms of maybe on the defensive end or on the offensive glass or something like that. As an official, as you're on your way to the game and you're getting yourself mentally ready to go, how much does this play into it? How much does it affect maybe the way you act or the way you go about communicating during that game?
Well, you know, that can be a two-way street, Shane. Officials give a certain level of respect to coaches. I don't think there's any question about that. And on the flip side, you know, I think the same can be said as coaches giving a level of respect to officials. And, you know, that level of respect may not always be positive either way, but I do think that both are aware of the tendencies of the other party and will adjust accordingly. For officials, you learn some coaches are a little more reactionary than others. Some will only get on you if they really feel you've missed something. Being aware of the personality isn't necessarily a bad thing. I think that it's a big part of game management for the official. Problems can really arise when either the coach or the official allow a comment or allow a situation to become personal, and you really just have to maintain that professional approach to keep things from, you know, escalating.
Well, I think the tough situation from a coach or from a fan, if I'm reading into this email in the correct way, is the way the style of the team just has a way of taking over the game. And it probably, in fairness to officials, it probably puts you guys in a tough spot. Let's just paint a picture, since the email's talking about McLean Boyce so much. They're a team that's going to guard the ball really hard. They're a team that's going to really deny that next pass, one pass away, really hard. The if you call a hand check, you take the ball out of bounds, they throw it back in, there's another hand check. And let's say you do or don't call it. Well, eventually, the last thing you want to do is call a third or fourth hand check and possession. You're going to get crowds saying, oh, let them play. And you're going to hear coaches say, hey, we're going to call 70 fouls tonight. So how do you balance that going in? Or what do you do to try to set the tone and maybe communicate that to players and coaches?
Well, that's a great question. And that is, again, going back to game management, I think that's something you've got to talk about beforehand with your coaches. And again, why maybe it is a good idea when you're experienced to know the type of team that you have coming in there. What exactly are you looking for? Are you looking for just putting your hands on the player? Are you looking for, I've heard college officials talk about, you know, forcing the offensive player to change direction or to lose his balance and kind of use that as a guideline. To a certain extent, you certainly have to do what you do, so to speak, as an official. So you don't want to let that completely affect how you call the ball game. However, you want to get in a situation where you're calling 40 fouls and the game becomes a free throw shooting contest. It's really a fine line. So, you know, I think that Greenfield example, that's something that, you know, I can remember as a player preparing for Greenfield. I can remember as a coach preparing for Greenfield. And I have not officiated Greenfield, but in watching them play now that I have the experience as an official, This is just a great topic because, you know, you might play on a Friday-Saturday combination and get completely different aspects from the official. Now they're calling the game, and it really, really changes, you know, how the game flows.
Well, I think another point that needs to be made here, Jeremy, is, again, in fairness to officials, is I think coaches were the same way. As a coach, I know in my first, four or five career games as a varsity head coach, I coached against Gary Kello, Larry Jordan, Ron Lovely. As a coach, if I show up at a game when I was a really young coach and I had a state tournament official such as a Dave Kearney, there's probably a little bit of a difference. You still want to be yourself. You still want to coach your team. But it's still one of those things where you probably do have maybe respect is the proper word.
It is.
Does that play a role as an official?
Absolutely.
Well, I tell you what, I think that's always a fun segment. Fans with our liar stripes on fire, you can call 740-569-3254. And again, as I see more and more people joining us here, you're listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk podcast show. We're live from Jackson, going through our normal show agenda as we wait on the girls' coaches to come back out of the voting. We'll be releasing the brackets and so forth. So on the other side of the break, we take a quick look at future stars before breaking down the current Valero SVC standings for boys basketball.
This is Coach Blue from the Lady Mustangs. You're listening to SVC Sports Talk.
Well, junior high comes to an end this past week, and as we talk about future stars, obviously the junior high is, as we've seen some of the freshmen, Jeremy, but really both girls and boys, we've highlighted that on the show throughout the year. So as we see junior high and we start to look at some of these 7th and 8th graders coming up, it won't be long before they're impacting the varsity level. As I said, the end of the regular season marks 7th grade girls championship for Southeastern. 8th grade girls championship also goes to Southeastern. 7th grade boys, Uniota. 8th grade boys, Southeastern and Piketon split. So some of the tournaments coming up. I know, in fact, the tournaments were scheduled. I apologize. I don't have that in front of me. I know one of the tournaments was supposed to start yesterday, and the weather wiped it out. And I know from being a former junior high AD that that's a nightmare. I mean, it really is. It's you start having to get a hold of eight schools and officials and boosters and all sorts of things. So, but they'll get those rescheduled. And, Jeremy, this week we had a phone call giving a few of our junior high champs a shout-out. Let's take a listen.
Yeah, this is for the SBC Sports Zone. This is Coach Jason Adams of the Southeastern 7th grade girls basketball team. I'd like to give a shout-out to them for going 16-0 in the regular season, and also to our 8th grade girls for going 15-1 and also winning the league. Thanks.
Well, again, that shout-out, courtesy of our phone message system, 740-569-3254, and talking Southeastern girls there, that's an impressive group. I had a chance to watch them, Jeremy, earlier this year, and very, very talented group. Size, athleticism, good basketball IQ. You combine that with some of the steps Coach Adams has taken at the high school level this year. Reason to be particularly happy. I wanted to get your take real quick, Jeremy, before we move on, the at the junior high level, are we guilty sometimes of looking too far into, hey, this team went 15-1, 16-0, or should we be looking to see how they went about doing it in terms of the product on the floor?
Well, I think that's a good point. Sometimes we do look a little bit too much into a 7th grade record or an 8th grade record when – you know, that's just one group. That's just one class of athletes. And the interesting thing about junior high is it's the only time that kids, boys or girls, are going to be playing with only their class. I mean, chances are they grew up and they played at least maybe 3rd and 4th grade combined, or 5th and 6th grade combined. Some places might even be 4, 5, 6 combined. So, you know, the junior high is really a point of isolation, and it really doesn't give you a true picture of what the matchups are. It's not a good prediction, I guess, of maybe high school success. You just have that age where some kids have developed and some haven't. So I think you have to be really careful and pay maybe closer attention to development of basketball skills, and whether it's offense or defense, ball handling skills, because the athleticism that wins you games in junior high isn't always going to equate to success at the high school level. But if you're able to build good ball handling, good shooting technique, and really work on your fundamentals, when you see those groups at the junior high level, then you do have reason to be excited.
Well, the reason I ask that is I see a little bit of both. When I watch the Southeastern girls play, when I watch the Uniota 7th grade boys play, sure, they're a little bit bigger, faster, stronger in areas, but the bottom line of it is you're still talking about a group of kids that are very skilled. I saw 3-4 different kids that could move the basketball with a good two-handed chest pass and transition, catch without traveling, make a good basketball move. So I think there's a lot to be excited about in some of those programs. Now, obviously, fans, the reason we're here today is to highlight girls basketball at the high school level, and we're getting closer and closer to some of our predictions and some of our girls breakdown. And then as the coaches come out, we'll be getting some interviews and reaction. But let's start with some boys basketball here, Jeremy. Weather seems to win out on Friday and Saturday again, but Piketon taking the clubhouse lead, if you will, with a golf analogy. But Friday will tell us the thing we need to know. I know not a lot to look at on the scoreboard here, but I know Jeremy Farmer, Ethan Shepard, some kids really jumped out. Give us your reaction from the weekend and maybe talk about the Zane Trace-Piketon showdown coming up.
Well, the weather really may have stolen the spotlight this weekend, but, you know, as you look to the week ahead, it really promises to be, you know, our judgment week, so to speak, in the SEC. First of all, what a performance on Friday night from Shepard at Edina, and from Jeremy Farmer from Piketon. You know, neither Coach Smith nor Coach Lyseth wants any cancellations the way their squads are playing right now. I really feel like all the cancellations hurt Zane Trace the most, as they have a brutal pre-draw week, starting with a very dangerous and athletic Wellston team on Tuesday night, going to Piketon and then hosting Vinton County next weekend. They must look to fill 4 other games over the next 13 days as well, while they're in the midst of battling for a conference championship and a number one seed at the tournament draw. So I really see that being detrimental for the Pioneers. But, you know, this could be a defining moment. you know, whether they have arrived or whether they're still climbing towards that elite status. You know, Piketon's really rolling down the stretch, protecting their SVC crown, solidifying them as a D3 favorite at the Combo in March. But, you know, kind of like we've talked all season, Shane, on SVC Sports Talk, it's a mixture of that veterans and newcomers. And, you know, when you're looking towards this matchup between Zane Trace and Piketon, you know, it's the Farmers, the Brabsons, the Moores, the Beams, the Smiths, and then throwing in the newcomers, Brewster, you know, Jeremy Farmer and Mowry, and they may be the ones that hold the keys to this year's SVC title.
Well, I think you make some great points there. It's going to be an exciting thing to watch. And then as we move forward, because you know how I am, Jeremy, I'm always guilty of looking ahead. I think it's going to be interesting to see how the weather does play a role in all this. I see Zane Trace, if I'm not mistaken, goes Friday, Saturday, Monday, Tuesday. I don't have that in front of me, but I think that's right in terms of their reschedule. So I guess it's kind of, if there is a good thing about all of that, is that the Piketon game's first. They're able to take care of a big block in front of them. Then they play a three-loss Vinton County team on Saturday, and then they'll get their makeups in there with Huntington and Paint Valley. But obviously, with Piketon being such a thing that high school kids is going to have their attention anyway, wouldn't you agree that it's an advantage to have that one as the first thing in front of them?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's no question that, you know, when you're dealing with teenagers, you really want to limit their focus if you can, and avoid muddying the waters. So, you know, that's a challenge that the Pioneers have in front of them.
Well, it probably bothers the coaches anyway. If you're a kid this time of year, you just soon put the uniform on every night and play. So.
Right, right.
Well, let's head on to the C&K Athletic Equipment fast break. This is our boys section. Jeremy, you take the lead. I will follow. So let's get out and transition. Let's go to the boys fast break.
What individual performance jumps out at you from this past weekend on the Good Health Chiropractic Center SVC Boys Basketball Scoreboard?
Ethan Shepard was outstanding in Adina's victory over Westfall. His emergence really allows Adina to get production from a third location on the floor in addition to Bryant and Thomas, so I'll have to go with his effort.
Well, I like those selections, Jeremy. I'll tell you what, I'll also throw in Jeremy Farmer. I mean, here's a situation where this Piketon team's already just a bear to handle. You're entering a game thinking, how are we going to get more under control? Even Brabson with his size at the point, their athleticism on the glass, even Brewster's been a capable double-figure scorer. Now, all of a sudden, Jeremy Farmer, 20 points, 8 rebounds, is stepping out, making the mid-range jumper. He's athletic on the glass. So if he's going to play at that level, this is a team that's not only capable of winning the SVC title, this is a team that all of a sudden becomes very, very dangerous playing on in the baseball season.
It was asked in the inbox this week by a Piketon fan, how would you compare Craig and Moore to Evan Legg?
Terrific question. Evan Legg is certainly has a great deal of influence on Moore's game, either directly or indirectly. I think that's what makes this Piketon group special, is because, you know, a lot of these kids, there's just been that constant transition over Coach Lyseth and the teams that he's had, you know, during the, you know, say 2000, mid 2000s till now. And it was evident with Legg as he was brought along with good varsity players ahead of him, and then the influence that he's had on this group. The intensity that Legg brought on both ends of the floor really set him apart from his peers. You can definitely say the same thing about Moore. He's a very active player, capable of involving himself in the entire game, regardless of, you know, whether or not he's scoring. And by the same token, he can put up 30 or take over a game as easily as any of the players we have in the conference.
Well, this is a great email. I tell you what, Evan Legg was a special player. You look in the history of our conference, ninth all-time at 1,469 points, and then that's not even mentioning, as you said, Jeremy, how he could just completely change a game on the defensive end and as an overall leader. Moore, very, very similar from a standpoint of being able to score the basketball in a variety of ways. Has obviously had a really good career in the way they've overlapped. Really two huge people in establishing this 7 or 8 year run that Piketon's currently in.
If you were Coach Alley heading into Friday night showdown at Piketon, what would be the biggest key when developing the game plan?
I think maintaining the underdog role with your players, which should be easy to do with all the challenges in the schedule and their makeups that they have coming up, this can help take some of the pressure off as young guards. He has all kinds of examples of success to point to from their first matchup with Piketon to their win at Unioto a couple weeks ago. And, you know, he's got outstanding individual performances that, you know, have occurred from Hutton and Mowry, Smith, Henning, Beam, to reference their stable of weapons. So he has every reason to ask, why not us and why not now?
Well, Jeremy, I think you make a good point. I would go with offensive efficiency if I was Coach Alley. Obviously, on the defensive end, we just highlighted that earlier, how difficult Piketon's going to be to defend. But offensive efficiency, not turning the ball over. Zane Trace has a lot of offensive talent. So if they're not turning it over, and if they're playing offense inside out, establishing Beam and Smith, and then getting the three-point shooting from Mowry and Henny, this is as they've proven earlier in the year, this is definitely a team capable.
Which team has the biggest opportunity to improve its stock this week heading into Sunday's sectional draw?
Southeastern has an opportunity to move out of the 500 long jam that could put them anywhere from maybe 4th to 7th, the way I was looking at things. Getting into the 4 would be big for the Panthers, and, you know, honestly, if Federal Hawking would drop another game or two this week, they could probably lobby for the 3. Personally, I've seen most of the teams in this section. I think the Panthers are probably the second-best team in the group. However, the sectional's full of TBC schools, which makes it, you know, that jump unlikely. But regardless, Southeastern has a great shot of getting back to the combo.
Surely you're not implying that anything unfair goes on in the room.
No, and, you know, that wasn't a hit on the TVC either, of course.
Okay. I would go, Jeremy, with ZT. You look at Wellston, Pike, and Benton County. Those are some pretty good basketball teams. You start beating teams like that, you're going to continue to move up. Even a Uniota, I think they're going to throw in the Logan games. You get a Logan, a winnable game there with the Dean and Miami Trace. They have a chance, I think, to get to 13 wins. And as you say, they're going to be in a room by themselves. So that obviously helps them a little bit as well. Well, fans, appreciate you staying with us here through our live show. Obviously, most of you have come on to hear the girls' results, and we are live from Jackson High School. This is the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk podcast show. I see rooms with less teams starting to empty out as they're coming out here and enjoying some great hospitality, some great food, which I'm sure Jeremy and I might dip into here a little bit ourselves later. But right now we're continuing with our normal weekly show as we wait on some of the SVC coaches to come out. And Jeremy, I tell you what, we had just an incredible inbox question this week. Comes from a good friend of mine, Russ Breach, who taught with me at Paint Valley. He's now teaching at Clay. He tells me in an email the other day, he's even started to get into the officiating a little bit. So he's gone to the dark side, as he calls it, in a follow-up email. So this inbox question, it says, with all of your SVC connections, has there ever been discussion about SVC-SOC showdown similar to the Big Ten ACC Challenge? I know ZT does the tip-off classic, but with the addition of the two games, this would be great for both leagues, I think. Here's his suggestion. The hosting of this. You'd have large crowds, bring in some great money for the schools. Just a thought. And I'll tell you what, Jeremy, as I started to put these teams down, and you and I've talked about it, what's your take on that?
Well, I tell you what, it's a very interesting point, and I tell you what, I would be very excited to see that happen. And, you know, whether you wanted to plan that out, you know, the year before, or if you wanted to do it at the preseason type of meeting and just set the dates aside, you know, I really think that'd be an interesting point, and maybe we can get some people on board.
Well, I'll tell you what, fans, this is an incredible topic, and we're going to come back to it. But we have our first coach out of the room, Coach Jeff Miller of Uniota. So Coach Miller is going to steal headsets from Jeremy Ward here, and I'm going to welcome him in. Jeff and his Lady Shermans are in the Division II sectional draw. I know some of our early predictions had him going up toward the top of this draw, so we'll see how it ended up going, and we'll hear about his matchup a little bit. Coach, first of all, appreciate you taking your time as you come out of the room to join us. Talk to us a little bit about Division II, where you're going to be playing, who the opponent is, and what your reaction to that is.
Our sectional will be at Zane Trace. No real surprises in the room today. We were voted the 2 seed. Which will match us up with the 7 seed, which was Greenfield McLean. We had an we actually played. We've played in the season. They're a good ball club, extremely well coached, and have been playing really, really well lately. So, you know, it'll be a good test for us.
So, Coach, you got to be pretty happy with that particular draw. Obviously, Greenfield's got a team that's going to always get better because they're so well coached throughout the season. As you play them in a one-game-and-out format, what's your reaction to that draw? What are some of the things that concern you about the Lady Tigers?
Obviously, the things that concern me about Greenfield are, first of all, well coached. I mean, you know, Dennis has been there for many years. You don't have, I think, what he's sitting at 499 wins right now. You don't get that overnight. So, and then they've also got several really premier players. The Massey girl, I think it was last week or maybe the week before, she had a night where she goes for 40 plus. They got a nice big girl in the post, the Carnes girl, and you know, and just some nice solid role players to go around that. So. But again, I like our matchup, in a one game and out. I feel like we match up pretty well with Greenfield. So I'm pretty pleased with the results.
Well, Coach, I know, first of all, I want to congratulate you, your basketball team from high school, the 1991 state finalist team just inducted in the Uniota Hall of Fame, long time coming the other night. So congratulations on that. And with your experience in tournament, I wanted to get your take on the importance of seniors come tournament time.
Oh, I think obviously, you know, all season long, but more important, probably come tournament time when those senior kids start to realize that, you know, it's a one and done situation. It's when, you know, you see them really step up and lead. And I've got three really, really good seniors this year as far as leadership is concerned, with Mallory Rutherford, Ashley Flott, and Katie Wolford. Yeah, all three of those girls really lead, and you know, you can't lead without really good followers as well. And I've got some underclassmen who really take to those words that the seniors provide them. So good group of kids. So,
well, Coach, I tell you what, I appreciate your time. I know, as a coach myself, how busy it is throughout the week. So on these days where you have to put a Sunday in and come down here and do this, I appreciate you taking the time to join us here on SVC Talk. Best of luck this week in the big SVC showdown with Adina, and then best of luck in the second season.
Shane, I appreciate it. I really was happy that I was the first one out of the room, because looks like the food, no one's got to that yet. So if you guys know how hungry I was when I walked out and this table was empty, I all about ran over here. So.
that's a good point. Appreciate it, bud.
All right. Thanks.
Again, that was Coach Jeff Miller of Uniota, and he's the two seed in Division II at Zane Trace. He'll play McLean, and obviously Uniota has a lot of goals in mind. And yeah, I tell you what, it looks like we're going to stay Division II, same room, same bracket. We have Westfall Coach Jennifer Blue. Jeremy's going to get her set up here. We'll welcome Coach Blue into the show, and it'll be interesting to see. We had her projected anywhere in that 3-6 game or the 4-5 game, so we'll get her in here, and we'll see how it ended up going. Coach, appreciate you joining us here on SVC Sports Talk as we go live from Jackson High School. And Coach, I guess in our predictions here, or our projections, if you will, for whatever we know, we had you maybe in a 3-6 or 4-5 game. Just let us know what the seed ended up being. Let us know your opponent and then your overall reaction.
Well, we ended up getting the 5 seed. We will play Washington Courthouse, 2:45 game on the 16th. So I actually projected us about the 4-5 seed. I figured we'd be right in that range. Looking forward to a matchup against Washington Courthouse. We've already played them once back right before Christmas, and that game actually went into triple overtime. So this should be an awesome 4-5 matchup.
If I'm not mistaken, that was the day that Uniota played Miami Trace, and I remember getting the text from you with that crazy score, and that was a good win. It was kind of about that time of year where you guys started to really turn the corner and start to play pretty well. I wanted to get your take on this, Coach. When you get to the tournament time, and some of the media coverage does pick up, we at SVCSportsZone.com try to do a good job of promoting both girls and boys. What What do you think we can do more to promote the girls' game? I mean, for fans that haven't seen Jenny Grigsby or an Alexis Overly or some of your young talent that's going to be coming up, what can we do more to help promote the girls' game and get it out there more?
Well, I think one thing is like the shot-o-matics that you guys do. That's really beneficial. I've actually had some administrative staff come up and tell me that they are listening to that kind of stuff. Maybe for even like some the more like non-league games, big games like in division, like we did, like I said, against Courthouse or something like that. If you could do cover those a little more, but you guys actually really do a very good job. I feel, anyways. I know my girls look at SBC Sports Zone quite often. They come in and tell me stuff. Hey, coach, do you see this? Hey, coach, you see that?
And I'm as like, a coach, I'll go ahead and apologize for that.
I'm like, no, I haven't seen that yet. I have to work today. Sorry, I haven't been on the internet. But it's great. I like I said, I appreciate it. It's, I was an SBC graduate, and that was something that I felt that the girls lacked a lot of attention, and you actually have brought more attention to us than what has been there in the past. So I'm sure my girls appreciate it, and we do as well.
Well, I appreciate that. I had one more question for you here. Really been intrigued by your team in the second half of the season. I've seen some definite improvements. Had a chance to come out to Kinnikinick and watch your big win against Zane Trace. I know you ended up taking it on the chin against a really good Adena team the other night. So, you know, you obviously take a giant step, and then you run into a good test. And even in a loss, as you get ready to go into the tournament and face a tough 4-5 situation, what's your feeling? What's your overall, say, gut feeling on your team as you get ready for the second season?
We have progressed quite a lot, I feel. We're still young, even though it is the end of the season. There's just certain things that you don't realize freshmen or even sophomores don't understand and pick up in a game where you think they should by this point of the season. So we're still getting there. Our defense is still lacking. The other night we didn't move our feet. And confidence, that's huge. When we got on that roll there, that was big because the girls had confidence going into every game. They thought they had a chance. And that's huge when they're young like that.
Well, Coach, I tell you what, I really appreciate you taking the time. As I told Coach Miller, being a coach myself, I know how many hours it goes into it every day. So on a Sunday when you have to come down here and do this and then give us some extra time up here at the table to help promote the girls' league, I appreciate that. Best of luck as you move forward against as you finish up some tough league contests this week and then into the tournament. Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, that was Coach Blue of the Lady Mustangs. I think we're going to try to get Coach Bridenball. Is he ready? Coach Bridenball of Huntington is going to come up here and talk to us a little bit. And just exciting to hear from Coach Miller and Coach Blue as they're the only two SVC teams in that sectional at Zane Trace. The first thing you always hope is you get away from one another. You hate to have SVC teams knocking each other out. So them going to separate brackets, them both having tough games, but by all means having winnable games, I think will definitely be something that the SVC feels like they're very capable of getting a couple teams out in that Division II Zane Trace sectional. So, Coach Bridenball, I think I've got you with me there. Coach Bridenball, obviously very well experienced in making the tournament run and having those special rides with some of his great Huntington teams in the past, in a different situation with this current Huntington team, and has done a super job. I know from watching last year to this year, there's probably not a more improved basketball team in the league, and he's been able to blend some older pieces with younger pieces and really make nice strides as the years move forward. Coach, and I guess when I was looking at the Division III Lucasville Valley, Jeremy and I, we were trying our best to predict and kind of guess, if you will, what was going to happen. Had you down there more toward the bottom with your four wins. Really could have made a case for you as high as the 11th all the way down to the 13th. Tell us how it ended up going and who what your seed is and who your opponent's going to be.
Okay, the seeding went basically what we expected. I think everyone voted basically on records. With our only four wins we had, we ended up with the 13th seed. So we'll be playing North Adams in that first round. And ironically, that's who we play Monday at our place in the regular season is North Adams. So, you know, the way I look at it, that's not too bad. I don't mind that at all.
Well, Coach, I had a chance to see North Adams earlier in the year. I believe it was against the Dean in the Zane Trace Tip-Off Classic. Obviously, a really good program. They just love their basketball in general down there, just a good basketball area. But I want to talk to you a little bit more about your team. I've been so impressed throughout the year. But you've been able to really bring some younger pieces in. Ariel Sams is a point guard, an outstanding talent. If we're just talking basketball skill alone, probably a top 10 to 12 talent in the league. How do you feel your team's progressed, and how do you feel about them going into tournament here?
Okay, we've played much better, I think, in the second half of the season. And as you said, Coach, you know, we play a lot of young kids. And we've got some role players that come in and give us some valuable minutes, and we've got a senior pivot player in Jackie Kello, who's basically is probably one of our, if not our best ball player. But they play well together. You know, the one thing about young kids is they come out and they play every day. They don't look at records. They don't care about what's going on. They just come out and play, and they play hard, which the coaching staff and myself are, you know, we're really thankful these kids do have that attitude. I think it comes with being young. As far as going into the tournament, you know, they have no idea what they're getting into. And so I know they're going to go out there and they're going to play hard. They're going to give us 32 minutes the whole time. So, you know, it's going to be fun to watch their expressions and watch, see how they play in that first tournament game for them.
Well, Coach, I know I've seen you play probably 8, 9, 10 times this year, and I want to let you know I thoroughly have been impressed with the improvements, with the positive attitude through the good and bad, and have to be real excited, I would think, about the future of Huntington girls basketball.
Oh, thanks a lot. I am definitely, we want to win. You know, we go into every game expecting to win, and you know, young kids have that same attitude, but. You know, they played well. Like I said, the second half of the season, they played much better. They've kind of picked up more than what we've asked them to do. And it's probably not as much coaching as it was in the beginning. And they're a real joy to be around. I don't know how most coaches feel about freshmen, but I tell you what, I get the biggest kick out of them because they come up with some of the funniest questions I've ever heard. But, like I said, I can't fault their effort.
Well, Coach, I appreciate it. And best of luck the rest of the way out.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Again, that's Coach Steve Bridenball, the Lady Huntsman of Huntington. I think right behind him here, I'm looking down here, Coach Carino of Piketon. We'll just go ahead and keep the coaches rolling. And Coach Carino and his Lady Red Streaks, they also are in the Division III Lucasville Valley sectional and is get Coach Carino situated there. Again, the Lady Red Streaks also in the Division III Lucasville Valley sectional. And you know, Piketon's gone through back-to-back years where they've come into the preseason and then have experienced some difficulty with some injuries. And to Coach Carino and his staff and his girls' credit, they fought through that and really have hit the postseason running, if you will. Just a couple things on there, I think, with the steadiness of K.K. Jenkins and then the return of Aaliyah Pelfrey, then the emergence of Ashley Lawhorn gives him a trio to kind of set the table for his Lady Red Streaks to be a dangerous team. Now, Coach Carino, we, in our predictions here, it was a really tough middle of the pack here to figure out. We were assuming somewhere in that 8 through 11 mix. So let us know seed and opponent and your overall reaction.
We end up getting the 11 seed. We play February 14th. I believe that's Valentine's Day at 8 o'clock at Lucasville Valley versus Peebles, and Peebles was the 6th seed. We thought we would get, you know, right around that area. I've been through enough of these where, you know, there's a lot of manipulation, a lot of coaches, you know, talking to each other beforehand. And, you know, you just got to play the people who are in front of you. It doesn't matter what seed, you just got to play. And I think that my girls have done a wonderful job since the beginning of the year and up until now of improving. It was tough for us to get over that hump for the first 15, 16 games, as far as we were in a lot of games, just couldn't make that either.
And we are, I believe, are back with Shane and Jeremy.
Yeah, we're here, Bruce.
All right.
Actually, in Jeremy's spot, when we went just off the air, and again, to the fans, I apologize the disconnection. I was just telling Coach Carino Python that it's probably got to be considered his fault. He's probably not living right when you consider last year with the Southworth injury and then the Belfry injury this year. So, Coach, we'll go ahead and blame that on you if that's okay.
Well, you know, I appreciate that. My name is Coach Carino. On the floor and off the floor, it's different names. So, you know, I appreciate that.
I'll tell you what, the coach was telling us here when we lost our connection that Piketon is the 11 seed, and with Peebles, the 6 seed. I had a chance to see Peebles earlier in the year on film, Coach. Very talented team, a couple really nice players. What's your overall reaction to that spot on the bracket and your team moving forward to tournament?
You know, teams in this tournament are good no matter who you play. You know, Peebles, very experienced, excellent coach. They got some, you know, a big inside who's very good. You know, Pell can slash, can shoot. They got some other kids who could do some things. So, you know, we know they're pretty good. However, you know, my kids have improved since day one. And, you know, we're looking forward to playing these next three games this week, getting ready for the tournament. So, you know, we'll be ready. We'll have them scouted. You know, we'll do the best we can. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But I wouldn't underestimate my kids. They're on their way and they're moving in the right direction. No question about it.
Well, Coach, I agree with that. I think it's a dangerous team. I tell you what, in all seriousness, I appreciate your patience today as we try to do the live show. We'll get you out of here and get these other guys up here. But again, best of luck in the final week of SVC play and into the tournament.
Thank you. I want to tell you guys, I appreciate all the things you do for the SVC, the stats, keeping everybody up. So you guys do a great job. Appreciate it.
Appreciate that. Again, that was Coach Carino, the Lady Red Streaks of Piketon. We've got a couple other coaches in line here. We'll see who's next. I'm pretty sure Coach Adams has been waiting the longest here with Southeastern. And I tell you what, really a lot of fun doing this. As a live show here at Jackson High School, trying to give the fans some feedback, a chance to maybe hear the girls' coaches that don't get an opportunity to get out on the media and talk about their teams and their kids and as we go to tournament time. So Jeremy's getting Coach Adams of Southeastern set up here. Let me see. Coach, I have you there?
Yes.
Well, Coach, I want to welcome you. I appreciate taking some extra time to stay with us here before taking off to go back home. Let me just ask you first about your seed, your matchup, and your reaction to the draw.
Well, we ended up with the 14th seed overall. I thought we could actually go anywhere from 13 to 15. We end up playing Oak Hill. They're number 3 seed, so we play them. It's going to be a real tough game, I know. A lot of good, hard man-to-man defense for sure. I can guarantee you that with Coach Hale out there. So we just got to get ready to play the game.
Well, Coach, I want to talk to you a little bit about your team. Right before we started our bonus coverage, we had a shout-out on our phone message from someone in your junior high program and congratulating your two junior high teams. Obviously very, very talented down there. You have young pieces at the high school level right now. And then really with your varsity team, very impressed with the way they've been able to stick their nose in and really start to move themselves up a few spots here in the standings. Just your overall take on your team and how you feel about them moving into the second season?
Well, I thought our last ball game was just a tremendous ball game for us against Paint Valley. Got in foul trouble early that game, and a lot of kids came off the bench and gave us a lot of good quality minutes. It's just a super team effort. And I thought our kids played really hard. I thought it was a real big win for us. As far as the future, you know, I am excited about the junior high kids coming up. Both teams had a real good, solid season for us. Both got number one seeds in their tournaments. And so I'm excited about the future, and I'm just excited about the way we played against Paint Valley this past game.
Well, rightfully so, Coach. And again, I really do mean it when I say I see nice strides moving forward. I appreciate you taking the time to join us here on SVC Sports Talk and our live show from Jackson, and best of luck the rest of the way out.
Thank you very much.
You know, as Coach Adams, Southeastern Lady Panthers, a lot to be excited about there. And I want to get to Jeremy back in here real quick, if I could. Jeremy, I just wanted to get a quick comment from you on your reaction to this point as you start to see some of the brackets, maybe some things that jump out at you. And then I think it looks like we might have Coach Colbert up here in just a second.
Well, Shane, just kind of milling around talking to some people. I didn't see anybody storming out angry. I tell you, the best place to be right now is the restroom, because all of the political correctness, those filters go off when you walk through the door, so you hear a little more honest reaction in there. So if you have to use the restroom, it's a great time to go. But honestly, no real big surprises. Sometimes, especially you get those middle seats, sometimes it's jockeying.
Right.
For a better matchup. So if you say, well, I thought maybe they'd be the 9 instead of the 11, or the 5 instead of the 8, that might have more to do with where they wanted to be, or maybe where everybody else in the room wanted them to be. So you know that stuff happens, but no real huge surprises to this point.
Well, Jeremy, if you will, I'm going to have you take Coach Holbert here. And
okay, are you afraid to talk to him?
Well, I figure Coach Holbert gets sick of talking to me every day. He doesn't need my advice here. But I do know, as I mentioned in our promo show, that with the hardcore diet that he's on, I've noticed that he's been so you might ask him about his avoidance of the sub there. I was a little shocked that he did have that. So, again, fans, this will be Lady Cats Coach Joe Holbert. I'm going to have Jeremy take over and talk to the Paint Valley head coach.
Hey, Coach. Good to have you. I don't know how you put up with Shane riding you all the time, but at least you get a break right now. And as you see, they're packing up the food, so he better hurry if he's gonna get himself a sandwich.
I was gonna grab him one, but I kept getting bumped back in line, so I had to kind of wait on that.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, first things first, let's just tell everybody what your draw was and who your matchup will be and when.
We got the 8th seed, and we'll be playing Eastern Brown on the 11th.
Now, have you had the opportunity to see Eastern Brown at some point this year?
Out of all the teams in our sectional, they're actually the team I've seen least. They were out at our Lady Cats Classic. They played Valley their first game out. I think that game was decided on last second shot. So that's about all I've got to see them so far this year.
Well, I know in that 8-9 matchup, unfortunately, that if you were able to win that, Coach, it would give you another matchup with Adina, and obviously we like it if we can avoid playing fellow SVC schools, but sometimes that's just inevitable, and we kind of figured that might be the case with the Lady Cats. So just your comments on that.
Yeah, you hate to kind of look too far down the road on those games. You got to finish what you do first. Of course, I did look down there and see that was going to be there. I actually voted ourselves farther down than what we got, trying to actually get a lower seed for a different path out, not going through another SVC school, and especially one of the caliber of Adina. There was a couple teams that we had played before that I thought we matched up well with for a first round, and even what the second round would be, but we didn't fall down the list to where that would happen. On the other hand, that we had 8 points this year, where three games we lost a total of 8 points, and we could have been looking at a 5-6 seed if we'd kind of taken care of some business there earlier in the season. So we kind of get the spot that we deserve there, and we're pretty excited about where we are in our first round matchup.
Okay, well, I certainly think that's a winnable game for Paint Valley, and it's an opportunity, for your senior. I'd like for you to talk a little bit about Charlene and just what this time of the year means for her, and as she's going through your program, kind of reflect on that.
It's been a really neat journey with Charlene. Coming out her freshman year, it was the first time she played organized basketball. I had a chance then. I was the reserve coach the couple years there that we brought her down and started the experiment with putting her at the point guard, and she kind of took to it, really, really worked hard at it. Then when I knew I was going to be able to take this spot, we really worked on it over the summer, kind of tailored some things to her. It's been a great luxury for us on press situations, everything. I have the 6 foot point guard.
Absolutely.
It's been a phenomenal thing for her. She's enduring a lot of pressure through it too. You know, as from a point guard position is one of the toughest in sports to play. And for someone that's just learning the game of basketball every day and to handle that pressure and then everything else we ask of her, she's handled that pressure amazingly and is just a really fun girl to be around, really excited about basketball. You couldn't ask for a girl to do much more for your program.
Well, you really hope that, you know, her story as well as, you know, what she was able to accomplish, but, you know, how she kind of went about it. You can kind of hope that that inspires some of your younger players and even players coming into the program from the junior high level that, hey, you know what, it doesn't matter if you've been playing every day since you're in second grade. If you commit to it and do things the right way, you can make it yourself into a heck of a high school basketball player, and she certainly has done that. Well, Coach, I will let you get out of here. We have one more Coach Cox. We've made him wait, and, you know, when you don't win any more games than he does, I'm sure he deserves that, right? So
yeah,
We appreciate you coming on and supporting our sports talk, and good luck to you.
I appreciate the time.
All right, Shane's going to take back over and talk to Jaron Cox, coach of the Edina Lady Warriors.
Well, again, appreciate Coach Holbert joining us there. I thought I'd let Jeremy jump back in. People get sick of hearing my voice and my questions. Coach Holbert and I obviously get an opportunity to talk enough basketball, so I thought I'd give him a break from me. But, again, as Jeremy just announced, I'd like to welcome in Edina Head Coach Jaron Cox. Coach Cox, appreciate you to make the live show possible. Appreciate you being that coach that was willing to bat down in the seven hole for us here today.
That's all right. There's nothing like passing up free food. You got to stay and eat the free food when it's here.
Now, Coach Cox was letting us know one thing I'll pass on to our fans. Coach Dunkel, due to some family things, had to get right out of here of Zane Trace today. Now, Coach, you were telling me down in the bracket just to let our SVC fans know that they went to the sixth seed, real winnable game in that first one, and then they would see Oak Hill, you told me, in the final, correct?
Yes, they'd play Oak Hill in the sectional finals.
So I wanted to pass that on, as Zane Trace will be a team very capable, as Coach Cox, you know, and that's kind of where I wanted to start real quick, and then we're going to touch on the Lady Warriors. What is it about Coach Dunkel and his Zane Trace team that makes them so dangerous?
Well, I think the first thing is he just does such a great job. You know, they got a system 7 through 12, and the kids are learning the same thing all the way up. They're very good defensively. They play very physical, and they usually do a really good job of playing to their strengths. And, you know, when they played us the other night, it was just almost like a perfect storm for them. They played probably about as well as they could, and we didn't play all that well. And, you know, they can get after you defensively. They can keep the game in the 30s, low 40s. They're going to be in any bowl game they play.
Well, Coach, I want to turn my attention to you guys now. I know you're the top seed there, as you should have been, and had another incredible year and very senior-laden group. I know you have a great deal of respect for the Eastern Brown program as well as your SVC rival with Payne Valley there in the 8-9 game. But beyond that game, I know the goals are out there. I know the expectations are high. How do you get high school kids to – because I know you all enough to know you're doing it. How do you get high school kids to focus in one game at a time come tournament time?
Well, I think having a bunch of seniors and been down the tournament road, most of them for 2-3 years now, that they understand that, you know, you have to go one game at a time, and if you look ahead, you know, you're done. And in our case, for 7 of our 9 players, their career's over. So I don't think it'll be that tough for them to stay focused on one game at a time here as we get going down the tournament.
We've talked to a lot of coaches about seniors, especially tournament time and the way that light bulb seems to go off. So I think that's a good point. The one thing I wanted to ask you, I wish I would have asked Coach Miller earlier, but he was first in the batting order today. And I know coaches were lining up and I didn't want to make them wait forever, but I do want to get your take here. You and Coach Miller are in an interesting spot because you come down here today, you find out your tournament path, but then you've got the big SVC showdown coming for the league. So as you come down here, obviously your mind over the last 48 hours has probably been positioning who's going to be this seed, who's going to be that. How do you immediately just flip the switch and get right back to the SVC grind and get your kids to do the same thing?
Well, I think I don't think it's really that big of a transition for us. You know, coming down in here today, we had a pretty good feel, pretty confident we were going to get the number one seed. So, yeah, we've got to be down here, but our focus is still on Tuesday with the game at Uniota. So, like I said, I don't think it was that big of a deal coming in at 17-2. Our girls have had a great year, and, you know, we're just getting rewarded with that by getting the number one seed today.
Well, Coach, let's talk real quick about the Uniota matchup. I know in the first matchup, Alexis.
You got your back there?
Yeah, we're back.
Okay. I apologize to everybody. We're having a bad day on the Wi-Fi circuits, I'm afraid. Go ahead.
Well, we are part of the live show, but as several coaches have said, I'll share this with the audience, three or four times with the technology difficulty definitely doesn't outweigh the opportunity to promote girls basketball, because I think it's something our area don't do nearly enough of. Right when we lost the audience, I was getting ready to ask Coach Cox of the Lady Warriors as he joins us here. Coach, I was asking him about the Uniota matchup coming up, and in the first matchup, you and I talked about Alexis Overland, her ability to get the dribble into the middle of your defense, and so I assume that's got to be a big concern moving in. Talk to us a little bit about what you see as some of the keys come this week against Uniota.
Well, I think the first key is that we need to make sure that we stay out of foul trouble. Obviously, that was a big factor towards the end of the game, and you know, I think it's going to come down to a lot of the role players. You know, you look and you have your star players. You have Alexis Overly, you have Jenny Grigsby, you have Natalie Cooper. I think one of the keys is going to be what role player is going to step up for each team, you know, who's going to contribute with either points, whether it's guarding somebody, rebounding, steals, blocks, you know, whatever it is, what role player is going to make a big impact in the game.
Well, Coach, I can't stress to you enough how thankful we are that you were the coach that was willing to hang out here long past the time you could have left. I know from being a coach myself, the hours that go into it, so you get what's supposed to be a day off, and here's the media asking you to hang around to do this. So, again, to get seven of the eight coaches on air, and I know Coach Dunkel talked to us off the air to give us some details. He had to get to a family thing. Can't say enough how much you appreciate it, and best of luck. I'm sure we'll talk to you one way or the other later this week.
No problem. Appreciate you guys covering the SVC like you do. It means a lot to the girls, and it's always nice to look on there and see what the league standings are and things like that. So, appreciate it.
Well, fans, that was Adina's Jaron Cox. Appreciate his time. And really, we should say we appreciate the time of all the coaches. SVCSportsZone.com trying to promote all of the programs and all the coaches and kids and letting everybody know where our teams go. And for all the coaches to stick around and help us out here today to give us some interviews, that helps. So, Jeremy, on the other side of the break, we'll take a minute to recap the tournament draw. Well, Jeremy, as I look at the brackets here, as we recap to make sure our fans know exactly where their favorite team's going, or if we just have SVC fans in general that want to know what the SVC has for the second season, I look at the Division II bracket first. We knew Uniota and Westfall were in the room together. Some people thought Uniota had an outside shot at the one with their head-to-head win over Miami Trace. They go ahead and get the expected two seed. With only nine teams in that sectional, it's a one game and out. So in a sectional championship on the 14th at 6:15 at Zane Trace High School, Uniota will play McLean, a team that comes to the draw 9-11, but obviously getting better as the year goes on. We know how well coached they are, as we heard Coach Miller talk about his high level respect there. And then Westfall will be in a 4-5 matchup with a team that they actually beat in a crazy triple overtime game earlier in the year. They enter at 11-8. They'll play a 12-8 Washington Courthouse team. So, Jeremy, when you look at Division II and Uniota and Westfall both with winnable games there, what's your reaction to how it played out in the Division II bracket for our two SVC teams?
Well, in Division II, I think they both have good situations, maybe dangerous situations from the perspective that, you know, in the head-to-head matchups earlier in the season, both of our teams, Westfall and Uniota, were victorious. Sometimes it's dangerous the second time around, and, you know, the pressure of the tournament. So especially with the tradition of McLean and the experienced coaching that you're going to get in game planning from both Logan Elm and McLean, I look for two really, really nice matchups. And, you know, that's just par for the course in Division II. You know, you're lucky this year to get two district champions, so that means a sectional. You've only got to win one to get out, as long as you stay away from those bottom seeds. And, you know, it's a great opportunity, I think, for both of our teams. And you know, really rewards them for quality seasons up to this point.
Yes, good point. The now, Jeremy, in Division III, we had a little bit of a split, so let's start with our Valley bracket. Our Valley bracket, the SVC tops the list there with Edina being the top seed. They are going to be waiting on an 8-9 winner. Edina gets the bye there. They'll wait on an 8-9 winner that includes an SVC team, with Paint Valley as the 8, Eastern Brown the 9. So Coach Holbert and his Lady Cats with a winnable game there in the 8-9 game, and then obviously the challenge of Edina ahead of them. But I think first things first, if you're Paint Valley, you're just trying to advance, and then at that point you take the challenge head on. As far as Edina, talk to Coach Cox in our interviews today. Obviously, their expectations are sky high, as they should be. But till his challenge will be to get his kids to slow down and take it one game at a time. Now, we also have Piketon and Huntington in that bracket. The Lady Red Streaks are the 11 seed. They play a really good Peebles team in the 6-11 matchup, and if they're able to advance out of that, they would most likely meet the 3-seed Lynchburg Clay, a team that I saw earlier in the year, a really good basketball team. So two really strong opponents in front of the Lady Red Streaks in terms of making the district tournament. And then Huntington, an improved young basketball team, they take the 13-seed. They play the 4-seed North Adams. If they were fortunate enough to pour that upset, they would most likely face Memford, the 5-seed, in the final. So that kind of wraps up on the Valley side. Jeremy, when you look at the Valley bracket, the four SVC teams, what's your take on Adina as you look out the bracket as they try to make a tournament run?
First of all, you know, that's a really deep bracket. You know, you get all the way down into that 9-10, and with Piketon being an 11 seed, you got some quality ball clubs and sure. a lot of tradition in this bracket if you look at it, and a lot of past success in the district tournament and beyond. So, you know, the SVC teams have their work cut out for them. On the flip side, I do think that Edina, with their experience and with the style of basketball that they play, they certainly kind of sit at the top of this bracket, and rightfully so. There not being a whole lot of discrepancy in the votes there. Edina was a clear-cut one. You know, I really like their chances, and I like their chances overall in D3 and making a nice run and winning a district championship, and I certainly wish them the best. As for the other teams, it's going to be a great experience for the young players of Huntington. They get to go against a big, strong North Adams team with some senior leadership, a heck of a player in Emily Fight. And the same with Piketon, a very good Peebles team. And then you look at Paint Valley, and they get to play an Eastern Brown team that, you know, spent a good part of this decade and early part of the one before as one of the top teams in the district. And I think Coach Kaiser down there has well over 500, maybe even 600 victories. So, you know, that's some depth, and there's a lot of things that, you know, we could take out of that if we can get some victories for the SVC coming out of that Valley sectional.
Well, unless we get the big upset, I'm looking down the bracket here. Adina's district final opponent, if they're able to hold serve, would be most likely Ironton or Lynchburg, and that would be in the convo on March the 3rd. So obviously I'm getting ahead of myself there a little bit, but as I look out the bracket there a little bit, that's the tournament trail for Adina if they're going to try to make a run to the Sweet 16. Now, Jeremy, in the other half of the Division III, Zane Trace and Southeastern, they go to Jackson to play. They actually got stuck in the same bracket, but they are not first-round opponents. Oak Hill is the 3 seed. They'll play Southeastern. Southeastern was the 14 seed. Zane Trace is the 6, Rock Hill 11. So if Zane Trace and Southeastern were able to win, they would be sectional final opponents. Now, if you're basing it on seeds, you're looking at number 3 Oak Hill, number 6 Zane Trace as being the likely matchup there in the final. And as I look out to the district, if Zane Trace were able to get on out there, or if Southeastern was able to pull the upset and they were able to do it, Wheelersburg would be the most likely opponent coming out into the district. So as you look at that, Jeremy, what's your reaction to the Zane Trace Southeastern draw?
Well, I think, you know, obviously Southeastern, you know, maybe could have finished a couple spots. You know, I guess if I'm looking through the whole thing, I think maybe Southeastern might have the biggest complaint to where they ended up in a negative perspective. I think they certainly could have been a couple spots higher, which would have really helped their chances of maybe getting a first-round victory. But, you know, Oak Hill's not nearly the team that they've been, but, you know, they're still Oak Hill, so they've got their work cut out for them there. And then with Zane Trace, a very winnable matchup with Rock Hill. And, you know, I think they match up favorably to Oak Hill. So I like Zane Trace's chances, and you know that's a pretty good sectional. I've actually had the opportunity in the preseason and during the season to see almost every team in that sectional. So I think I have a pretty good grasp of what those teams bring to the table, and I like Zane Trace's chances of still getting out of the sectional.
Well, real quick, Jeremy, you kind of touched on it there. The last thing I wanted to do in our recap is you can't go down to the sectional draw without looking to see, do you feel like all the teams were treated fairly? For the most part, I look through here, and I think the seeding is not too bad as far as the league goes. I think Uniota is about where they are. I personally think Westfall could have made a complaint to be a couple seeds higher when you consider right. They beat Logan Elm head-to-head. But Adina, obviously the top seed. I thought Paint Valley and Piketon, two solid basketball teams. I just thought they were in that no-man's land in a really talented bracket. Like you said, with Piketon being the 11th, it kind of gives you an idea of depth. And then Zane Trace, they probably could have made an argument to move up a spot or two. Overall, what would be your reaction to the overall fairness of the way our 8 teams were treated today?
Well, Shane, if we're going fair, unfair, I think pretty fair. I think every team put themselves in a spot either, you know, because of good play or because of a few hiccups to where, you know, they pretty much fell where they expected. And as you said, maybe movement of one or two spots here or there. I would agree with you with Westfall, Zane Trace. But you do have to consider, and then Division II, sectional for sure. You got some coaches in there that have been there for a long time, and they have connections with each other, and you know, I'm sure they kind of map things out the way they want it to go. So when you fall in the middle with those types of teams, you are going to be at their mercy. So I guess the bottom line is, as much parity in the middle of those two brackets is, you know, you really could see it falling anyway.
Well, Jeremy, now that we have our recap out of the way there and we've talked to the coaches, let's take a look at our C&K athletic equipment fast break for the girls. We're going to start talking some sectional champions. We're going to look at the Adina Uniota head-to-head matchup coming up here, and then we're going to talk bottom half the league. So, Jeremy, why don't you take the lead? I will follow. Let's get out and transition. Let's go to the girls fast break.
How many SVC teams on the girls' side will cut down the nets as sectional champions?
Well, Adina, Uniota, Zane Trace, and Westfall, I think all have a shot, obviously. And I would say 3 of the 4 of them will move on to the district level.
Well, I agree with you, but I honestly think all 4 can do it. I like the head-to-head matchups. I like the idea of testing themselves here in the final regular season week and kind of getting in that tournament mindset. And I really feel like we can get half of the league up on the ladder and cut some nets down.
In this week's showdown, when Adina travels to Union Odo, if you were Coach Cox, your biggest concern would be what?
Getting my kids to focus on the 32 minutes in front of them. Not getting caught up in the moment. As you get to this point with a lot of senior players, you go through the senior nights, you kind of see the end of the tunnel, so to speak, and you start to look back and reflect on all that you've accomplished. And I think just being able to get them to focus on 32 minutes with Uniota is going to be just huge, because the emotion that comes with the end of your senior season can really boost you to a long tournament run. But you know, if you don't handle it in the right way, it can be a negative thing as well.
Well, I think that's a great point, Jeremy, the way the game's going to start and play out. I think if I was Coach Cox, I'd really look at the ability to defend without fouling in terms of dribble containment. I thought that was the whole entire difference of Adina not blowing a Uniota right out of the gym in the first matchup, as I thought Overly was relentless to the middle, and Adina never really did have an answer for it. So as Coach Cox makes that adjustment, that'll force the hand of Coach Miller and his Lady Tanks a little bit. But I really think being able to contain the dribble without fouling is going to be important.
In this week's showdown, when Adina travels to Uniota, if you were Coach Miller, your biggest concern would be what?
Getting off to a slow start. Not being able to get into their game plan in the first quarter or even the first half recently has really hurt the Lady Shermans. And in order to win this game, I really feel that they need to execute and maximize their opportunities early on to keep the pressure on Adina, who I feel, you know, has a little bit more to deal with here in the situation that they're in with the senior-laden squad. So even though Adina's the road team in this matchup, I really think it's important for Uniota to keep that pressure on the two shades blue.
Well, Jeremy, another great point, because if you look at the last three matchups with these teams, Adina's really had their way in the first quarter, even really the first half, and then Uniota's come back hard in the last two games. But so I think that start is important. I would say for Coach Miller, I'd be concerned, knowing Adina and how much they take pride in their defense. You know they're going to do everything possible to stop that dribble containment, or have dribble containment the way I said in my previous answer. So what will be Uniota's response to it? Will they have enough patience? Will they continue to attack at the right times? And will they be able to get some role players to knock down some perimeter shots?
What word would you use to describe the bottom half of the league?
Promising. I've been pleasantly surprised with the development of the bottom half this year. We've had some great games, a few upsets, some fantastic individual performances that, you know, we really didn't see that much of last year. So, you know, looking ahead especially to 2013, 2014, where I personally feel that the overall strength of the league might decline a little bit. And I think the parity next year will really be a lot more from top to bottom and not so much half and half.
I'll say capable. I think some of our teams at the bottom half are dangerous. I think it's going to be difficult for some of them to put two wins together in terms of getting out. But if you're a team that's playing one of these SVC teams in the first round, don't be surprised if you find yourself going to the locker room at halftime or even getting together in your huddle after the third quarter and being in a dogfight. Very capable basketball teams that, if they're able to get into the right tempo, that they could be dangerous in terms of tournament time in a one and out setting. Well, fans, we appreciate you being with us all day. It's been a lot of fun. Really look back on the show here and had a chance to speak to seven coaches. I know Coach Dunkel hated not being able to stay with us, had a family thing he needed to get back to. Coach Cox, I thought, did a good job of talking a little Zane Trace for us, so to get them some coverage as well. But able to talk about all eight teams, mention a lot of kids, a lot of matchups. Jeremy, before we get out of here, we look ahead to next week's live show back down here at Jackson High School, and the boys come calling, and it should be a lot of fun there. What are some of your thoughts as we close this show up and then look ahead to next week?
What a day. I mean, just the amount of basketball that we got to experience, and there wasn't even a ball in the room. Just the conversations that you get to have with the coaches, the excitement that you feel, You know, whether it's the culmination of a great season or a refreshing start to a new second season, it's just a great atmosphere, and we were really fortunate to be a part of that today.
No doubt about it. Well, fans, until next time, for the great people at Triple Crown Family Fun Center, for the administration in Jackson High School, for Bruce Knox and all the wonderful people at DBK Media Services, and for my co-host, Jeremy Ward, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportsZone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.